Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
counted, descend into the breach. You sip and crumble and run off, saying they need to stop it. They need to stop it. But you won't do anything to help them stop it. You won't become a part of the real talk for real people. You won't talk to the people. But you expect things to change. You expect people to change. Someone came to you. Why you can't come to some? You know, think about those prophets and the prophets that we read about, that we study about. They stood in the breach. They came to the people. Although they wouldn't treat it all that fairly, so to speak, they let their light shine. So the question I have for you listeners today, this afternoon, are you letting your light shine? You know, the scriptures tell us that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous is bold as a lion. Are you a lion? Are you a fleeing wicked person? That's all I got to say about that. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yumsof Arif, and we're about to get busy doing our studies, as we always do on the show. Then we have small talk, chit-chat, and whatnot, but normally we're about the most high bidding. We're simply serious about the business, too. We have come in the book of Ezekiel. We've come to the chapter 42 of Ezekiel in this map in our studies. And it tells to these chamber priests how they must comport themselves and what they must dress. He don't leave nothing to chance, who they should marry, and so on and so forth. Nothing is left to chance. And truth be told, listeners, as far as our studies as well, nothing is left to chance for you. If you're leaning to your own understanding, you're wrong. Nothing is left for chance for you. If you're doing whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, how long you want to do it, wrong. You're left instructions. The only thing you have to do is humble yourself and follow those instructions, as these instructions were left for the temple priest. The Most High don't leave anything to chance. It's just like when I joined the Marine Corps in 1973. I was a 17-year-old young whippersnapper. I thought I had all the sense in the world. You know what the Marine Corps told me? And I can associate with that, with the Most High. If the Marine Corps didn't give it to you, you ain't got nothing. Well, that was true. And I would say this in regard to the Most High. If the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't give it to you, you ain't got nothing. If you're leaning to your own understanding, you ain't got nothing. If you're leaning to someone else's understanding, you ain't got nothing. It ain't going to amount to a hill of beans, truth be told. That being said, that's why we study. That's why we study on the Real Talk for Real People show, because we know what's important, and we know what that important thing come from. Not from me, not from you, but it comes from our Creator. Yeah. I-L-O-M. So if you got your books, your maps, your road maps, please turn to chapter 42, and may the Most High bless you, listeners, from his reading and his study. I give you a few seconds, okay? La, la, la. Okay, you got there? Okay, you ready? Okay, I get the next book we're going to, if you want to write this down, and I finished the book of Ezekiel myself. I'm just going over it. That's how I try to stay ahead. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah and Hosea, those three books we're going, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Hosea, in their sequence. So if you want to write Ezra, Nehemiah, Hosea, Okay? We're going there after we get through with the book of Ezekiel. I got a whole lot list. I didn't come up with this list. My brother and friend, whom I trust dearly with my life, and I mean with my life, spiritually speaking, Katria, helped me produce this list. I just wrote them down. You know, I concede to somebody much more wise and their studies in this area, so I conceded to him. Okay? And so write that down. I got, when we get to Nehemiah and going on to Isaiah, I'm going to give you three more. Got a whole list of them. We're going to study everything. We ain't going to leave nothing to chance. We ain't going to leave no stone unturned and no leaf unturned. We're going to cross every T and dot every I, because your life is important. Okay? Well, are you ready? All right. Let me turn this light on. My eyes ain't like they used to be. May the Most High bless you, listeners, with his reading of his word. Ezekiel speaking. Then he brought me out into the outer court by way of the north. And he brought me into the chamber which was opposite the separating courtyard, which was opposite the building toward the north, facing the length, which was 100 cubits. The width was 50 cubits, was the north door, opposite the inner court of 20 cubits, and opposite the pavement of the outer court was gallery against gallery, three story high. In the front of the chambers, toward the inside, was a wall 10 cubits wide at a distance of 1 cubit. Their doors faced the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter because the galleries took away space from them more than from the lower, you know, on the story buildings. In the middle stories of the building, for they were in three stories and did not have pillars. They were stacked on one another like the pillars of the courtyard, the courts. Therefore, the upper layer was shorter, more than the lower and middle level, from the ground up. And a wall which was outside ran parallel to the chambers at the front of the chambers toward the outer court. Its length was 50 cubits. The length of the chambers toward the outer court was 50 cubits, whereas that facing the temple was 100 cubits. At the lower chamber was the entrance on the east side, as one goes into them from the outer court. Also, there were chambers in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east. The opposite, the separating courtyard, and opposite the building, there was a walkway in front of them also. And their appearance was like the chambers, which was toward the north, just like I just described. They were long, as wide as the others. And all the exits and entrances were according to plan. And the correspondents were according, And the entrances were according to plan. And corresponding to the doors of the chambers that were facing south, as one entered them, there was a door in the front of the walk, the way directly in front of the wall toward the east. Then he said to me, the north chamber and the south chamber, which are opposite the separating courtyard, are the holy chambers where the priests who approach the Elohim shall eat the most holy offering. There they shall lay the most holy offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. For the place is holy. When the priests enter them, they shall not go out of the holy chambers into the outer court, but they shall leave their garments in which they minister, for they are holy. You can't go out in your street clothes. You got when you go out, you can't go out in your street clothes, like hood. You got to put these garments on when you're ministering to people, because those garments are holy. And he goes on to say, they should put on other garments, their street clothes. Then they may approach that which is for the people. They may approach the people with their street clothes on, but not the holy garments. Outer dimension of the temple. Now, when he finished measuring the inner temple, he brought me out through the gateway that faces toward the east, and measured it all around. He measures the east side, the measuring rod, 500 rods, by measuring rods all around. He measured the north side, 500 rods, by measuring rods all around. He measured the south, 500 rods, by measuring rods. He came around to the west side and measured 500, it was totally square, 500 rods by measuring rods. He measured it on all four sides. It had a wall all around, 500 cubit long and 500 wide, to separate the holy area from the common area. And you know, these dimensions, as I said, may sound redundant to you, or just happenstance or by chance. That is not the case there. And you can't take anything that the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says by happenstance and or by chance. He told you this for a reason. I got everything squared away. Just like I said when I was a 17-year-old recruit in boot camp. If the drill instructor told me, if the Marine Corps didn't give it to you, you don't need it. So I'm saying to you, listeners, if the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't give it to you, as far as this temple is concerned, as far as anything is concerned, you don't need it. It's true. It worked for me in the Marine Corps, and it will work for you in the Most High Corps. So get your minds right. That being said, you're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Brother Yamsuf Arif, and I will bring my friends and my brother and sister on, my lovely Ima Adora from St. Louis, Missouri. We've missed her. She's been in movie. Ain't your business, but I told you anyway, because you're nosy, some of you. And Brother Cartier from New York City. So stay tuned. Enjoy this lovely song. Get your minds right. Go get you some Kool-Aid, some jungle juice or whatnot. No, don't get that Kool-Aid from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Not that Jim Jones Kool-Aid. No, go make you some Kool-Aid. Okay? Don't get the Jim Jones Kool-Aid. Make you some good Kool-Aid, okay? Or some water, which I recommend highly. Which I'm finna go get me some while this song play. And I'll be back. My brother and my sister shall be right on after me. And you're listening to Real Talk for Real People. Enjoy. I'll be right back. Shalom.
There will be no love that's dying here. The bird that flew in through my window simply lost his way. Broke his wing, I helped him heal, and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere. but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here. The mirror that fell from the wall was raggedy, that's all. It rests up on a rusty nail before it made us fall. Well, the bones of love are everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here. For flowers in my Asian vases, not a sign we're dead. I paid for three, a sweet old lady gave me four instead. There's some doubt that's out about this love, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. Helped him heal and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. No, there will be no love that's dying for me. There will be no love that's dying for you and me. Oh, there will be no love dying here, no, not for me. There will be no love as dying here, no, there will be no love as dying here, no, 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 there will be no love dying for me.
All right, all right, all right. There is no love dying for me, for my brothers and sisters. That's certainly the truth, and it shouldn't be for you. I had a friend of mine today was talking about another friend of ours that we had played some sports with, and he needed his help, and the guy didn't come through, and I just told him he'll be all right, and because I didn't want to tell him what I really felt about the matter, which is, I don't put too much trust in people that don't put their trust in the Most God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they own some other trip. And I don't put my trust in brothers and sisters who talk a good talk but don't walk a good walk, by reference of how they treat one another and each other, by reference how they comport themselves with the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with strangers. And, you know, I don't too much cotton. It's just like the Marine Corps. When I was a young Marine, I trusted these Marines with my life because we shared the common experience. And I trust these brothers and sisters, especially those on the Real Talk for Real People show, because we share a common experience. We don't simply talk about it. We be about it. And I'm going to tell you, Imad Dora be about her business. I'm going to tell you, Cottrell be about his business. I'm going to tell you, Avia in New York City bees about her business. I'm going to tell you, Sister Wendy Pettis of Cleveland, Ohio, bees about her business. So I'm more of a brother that likes to hang out with brothers and sisters. Don't simply talk about
Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I really do. I really praise the Lord.
But when a brother and sister come for their help, oh, man, don't be bothering me. What's wrong with you? Because you know why? You know why I love brothers and sisters who will be about it? Because they know every man and woman and child that is the Most High is precious. And to be treated as such, not because you own them, because the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob owns them and will hold you accountable. So yes, I'd rather, much rather hang out with brothers and sisters like that. Truth be told. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York. Cartrell. This brother is dynamite. I love him. I love him like we born from the same birth mama. And just like I love Ima Hadori, like my big sister, born from the same birth mama. Because these people are solid like a rock. They don't talk about it, they be about it. But we're going to talk about it today on the Real Talk for Real People show. Brother Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
To the family, shalom. Hey, I'm more like dust in the wind, man. I'm more like dust in the wind.
Well, look here. I'd rather hold on to your dust in the wind than to hold on to some of these dusty suckers out here.
Don't hold on to me, man. Hold on to y'all.
Okay, I am. But at least I'm going to hold on to that good dust when I see you. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like how
we are. Most high, blowing can, us and wither and die.
Yeah, but I can appreciate good... I can appreciate good dust, brother.
Yeah. And when dust gets together,
it's a whirlwind. It's a dust storm.
Oh, yeah.
We a dust storm.
Turn the fertile land into a desert.
Yeah. And you know the guy I'm talking about, you know, that asked me though about the fella. You know, the funny thing about it, in high school, We had a nickname because he was a running back. We used to call him Dusty. And I said, man, why do we call you Dusty? He goes, he wasn't rich. You know what? I jokingly said, you know why we call you Dusty? Because they kept you in the dirt.
Oh.
He said, no, I wasn't, man. He said, I ran football. He said, I got some records they've been beat, which he was fast. Because we opened up a hole for him. There you go. He's gone through the hole. Well, and we just sit back laying on the ground after we knocked four or five people down. He was gone like the wind. That brother could run. He was like Forrest Gump. Yeah, he was like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run! Chupito, get to the Most High business, brother. Get to the Most High business.
If you let me, if I can, I'll
make it out. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
Nah, but, I mean, you went over these chapters. He got to the end of the book of Ezekiel, and I've read this book of Ezekiel since I was a little boy, and I always used to think that this part here was a future temple that we were going to build.
Right.
But the more I read it, the more I realize that this place is already built.
Well, it said nothing. Right. It said nothing about us building this. It said nothing about y'all build this. I have to concur with you. It's like it's already somewhere, already built, already laid out, and suspended somewhere to be gently laid down when y'all brought back. That's what it seems like to me. It don't seem like y'all got to do nothing. Yeah.
Maybe violently brought back to clear the wicked out of the earth.
Truth be told.
But when I'm listening to him describe what he's going through, what his experience with this angel, it's not like the angel is taking him through blueprints. He's taking us through the actual building.
It was already made, right?
Yes, somewhere it's made. It ain't on earth yet, but this building is somewhere. And I know our enemies, people, you know, that study us, they got it all online. The design. Architect looked at these chapters, and they figured out what it looked like.
And you can go online. You can go online and put in Ezekiel's temple, and it will show you an animation. Oh, that's a gorgeous temple. I mean, it's so beautiful, man. I can sit there. And maybe the priest will let me hang out there in the outer court. No, when you come in from the north, you got to go in through the south. So they ain't going to let me hang out there. So now, you know, I got some land of my own I got to tend to. But it's such a beautiful building. Go to Ezekiel's temple and look at the animation of that temple. Beautiful, gorgeous temple.
Yeah, so this don't sound like no. He's showing them a blueprint when he says, when he finished measuring what was inside the temple area, he led me out by the east gate and measured the area all around. He's going out through an actual temple. He ain't looking at blueprints. Well, this will be the area where we, you know, the priests go, and then you're going to have these chambers over here, and then it's going to be three stories up. He's taking him through it, literally.
And Ezekiel saw this temple. Ezekiel actually saw
this temple. He's in the temple. He measured the east gate side with the measuring rod, and it was 500 cubits. He didn't say it was going to be 500 cubits. He said he measured it, and what? It was 500
cubits. It was. Yeah. Not something, not it will be. It was. It is.
He measured the north side. It was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. He measured the south side. It was 500. So all the way around, four square. And it's not like he's saying it's coming. It's already experiencing somewhere. But that blows my mind, because I always thought that this was a huge temple that we were going to build. But the deeper I read it, I see that this place was already built, and he's been there.
Yeah, and the Most High in those readings, those previous chapters, didn't say anything about us building anything.
Oh, no.
And it didn't say, y'all will build, and who will build it. In the case of when he spoke about the first temple with King David, and King David declined because his hand was bloody. But it says nothing about the restored King David. It didn't say anything about him building anything.
Nope. And it's not telling us what type of material the walls are made of, the corridors made of, the windows.
No. What I got to tell you for? I ain't got to tell y'all nothing. It's already built. What I got to tell y'all all detail for? I'm just giving you some idea of what this going to look like. But if I really wanted y'all to build it, I would tell y'all line by line, item by item, the measurement of each stone and whatnot. But I ain't tell y'all that because you don't need to worry about that, because that's already taken care of.
And instructions come with it, like you said. It says, once the priests enter the holy precincts, they are not to go into the outer court until they leave behind the garments in which they minister, for these are holy. They are to put on other clothes.
You can't hang out in your street clothes. You can't hang out in your street clothes like that, and you can't leave with your street clothes like that.
Well, you know, in church and in the temples and synagogues we go to, they were in the same thing they wore when they came in. They were in the same thing when they go out.
Oh, that's real holy. Real holy.
Oh, no, not according to the way. Yeah. So when you come to me, you got to put the holy garments on. When you leave, you got to take them off and change the clothes.
Right. They're my street clothes. They ain't what you hang out in. You can't hang out in my clothes.
We come to the temple all dressed up, wearing the same thing all day, and we leave with the same clothes.
They ain't doing too much study now, is they?
Nah.
They ain't
really
kind of. They ain't kind of doing the laser precision study we're doing, burning the midnight oil study. They ain't doing that kind of study, is they? So it seems.
This really ain't nothing to play with. Y'all are serious.
No, it ain't. It ain't.
And we playing with it. Like, it's church. Yeah. It ain't church. Y'all is very specific, very detailed, and we haven't reached the standard yet. And
in no shape, form, or fashion. No shape, form, or fashion. Well, brother. Go ahead, brother.
I'm finished.
Okay.
Like he's talking about the priest room.
Oh, the priest room? Yeah.
And Ezekiel was able to go in there because he's from the line of priests. The line of priests. This is why he got privileged to see this temple that's already built, I think.
Exactly. But he didn't get to go no farther than that, though. He didn't get to go into the inner chambers. He didn't get to go that far. Mm-hmm.
No, he's not a high priest.
Mm-mm.
Only one man could go in there. And an angel.
Exactly.
An angel went in.
Right. And told him.
Stuff,
yeah, he was standing on the outside looking in.
That's right.
Well, he was going to go in there. The angel was telling him what was going on in there and the measurement.
That's right.
You can't come in here. You know the rule. You know the funny thing about that is this. It really ain't funny. Ezekiel knew not to cross the line. He didn't even attempt to go in there. He knew better.
Right. Most of us
Ezekiel
in Syrian knows what's going on. What's in there?
No. Ezekiel didn't even attempt to go in there. He knew the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike some of us. You know what I mean? We don't know the rules. We don't study
wait
the rules.
Wait to follow instructions.
Right. You got to learn to wait to follow instructions. Key word. Wait. Well, Cottrell, if you don't mind, can we bring on lovely Ema Fedora from St. Louis, Missouri?
Absolutely. No doubt.
Ema Fedora, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Ema, may the Most High bless you.
Oh, hallelujah. May the Most High bless you guys as well. All praise to his holy righteous name. For he is so worthy to be praised.
Amen, sister. Amen. Hallelujah.
We had a study earlier on the Shabbat and the feast days, just digesting for a minute.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
I'm telling you, I'm still high off of that study. You see, the word of Yah gives me that high, that natural high. The more I study it, the sweeter it becomes. I can't get enough of it. And the more you study his word, the more that you know, Yah is not a figment of our imagination. He's real.
Ma'am.
You see? And we've been taught in, or the vernacular that we've been taught about our God by other nations, never coming to the understanding that the only way we're going to learn about our God is through his spirit. The other nations can't teach us what they don't know. And I do agree that this temple is manifested. It's not going to be where Israel is going to rebuild it. As a matter of fact, it's going to kind of sound like it's going to come with the new heavens and a new Jerusalem that God's bringing down. That is spoken of. Is it in the book of Isaiah, am I right?
Well, this is where they get that concept from, the New Jerusalem. Yes, Yahshua is going to make a New Jerusalem.
And that's in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Where the Almighty says, he's bringing down a New Jerusalem and a new heaven. Okay? So it seems like this temple is going to come with it, you know, when we really understand the word as it was shared earlier today. Yah destroyed the temple that Shlomo built. He destroyed the tabernacle, took away his places of assembly. Yah did all of that. And it kind of tells us that in Ezekiel, the 9th and 10th chapter. Those are the chapters I was searching for my way when I called you, where you can see Yah's glory beginning to depart. And Yah took it all. And so when he brings it back, it's going to be in all of its perfection. Because along with this, the Almighty says that that day Israel will no longer go astray from him, that his law is going to be in our hearts and in our minds. So we will be the people that Yah had ordained us to be from the beginning. So that's just what I wanted to say. Yeah, you guys have done such a wonderful job of going through this text, as you always do. And I just want to say job well done. You know.
So, Dina.
Thank you, Imam.
I tell you, I just want to encourage Israel, and I want to remind the other nations that the Almighty says, he who blesses Israel, you got to know my people, who the true Israelites are, the true nation of Israel is. Not the imposters is in that land over there now. The true Israelites, the true nation of Israel is still scattered abroad and scattered among all people from one end of the earth to the other, because Yah has yet to redeem us from these lands of our captivity, to return us back to the land of our fathers or our inheritance. So know that this black man, as Isaiah the 53rd chapter describes him, when we look upon him, we find no comeliness in him that we should desire him. You say, when you look upon this black man that you don't refer to as being niggers and thugs and all these other bad words and proverbs, and look down upon with such disdain, no, that's true Israel. And Yah said, he who blesses Israel shall be blessed. But if you're going to jump on the bandwagon, as so many others will and have, then the Almighty also said, he who curses Israel shall be cursed. So it behooves you to know that when you're looking upon Israel, you're looking upon your salvation. You see. So it behooves you to have a change of heart as well toward Yah and his people. We are the covenant seed. This black man, woman, child here in America, and who also were scattered via the Atlantic slave holocaust. We are those people. We are the tribes of Yehuda, Benjamin, and Levi, because the other tribes were scattered long before Yehuda was. And so you need to know who Israel is. And you need to, instead of pointing your finger and condemning him and wanting to shoot him and kill him and whatever, it's time that you repent and you look upon this people and know that he is your salvation. For the word says, he that serves not Israel, he shall perish. You see, that's words. And when you look upon us to know this, that Yah's word is true. He's not a figment of anyone's imagination, because as it has been stated in the book of Deuteronomy, if you think that we are alive, look at the judgments. The Almighty says, you'll know who his people are when you look upon his people and you see the judgment that has been executed against them. So, you know, if he did this to his own people, you know what you got coming. Because as all is said and done, what does the word say? Israel is the apple of his eye. And so Israel is his son. And we're beginning to be resurrected from this grave that we've been in for the past almost 3,000 years. You see. So I wanted to say that and to say to Israel, stop trying to lean to your own imaginations. Stop trying to think of these broken thinkers that we possess today. The word of Yah is true and it's strong and it's going to stand when everything else falls to the wayside. If his word is not subject to your interpretation, your understanding, or acceptance on your terms, Yah's word is absolute and it's speaks for itself. So Israel, you need to repent. As a nation, you're not a religion. You're not a camp. You're not a belief. You are a nation in exile. And the Almighty, his instructions that is given to us after we went into our captivity, is given to the nation of Israel. And you know what? One simple act would power push us to the top of the ladder. All the suffering that our people are going through globally, if we give them one thing that God told us to do in Torah, and it's repeated over and over and over again all through this word. Repentance, right, El? Turn from your wickedness. My people who are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves. He didn't tell you go out and stick all these titles on yourself and prance around like a proud peacock. He said, humble yourself. If you shall humble themselves and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, then Yahweh will hear from heaven and heal our land. Think about your land right now. And I'm going to end with this. The reason why the land is so important is this text finished reading about the temple, the new temple that's coming. The new temple is going to be put in the land. Why is so? Is it so much emphasis put on the land? Why is it that you outside of your land, Israel, you're still in a falling state? Moray, what's your favorite saying? What was Yah's original plan? What did he want to do from the beginning?
You're talking about creating a nation out of the other nations?
No, that he wanted to dwell where?
In the midst of Israel.
He wanted to dwell in the midst of his people. He set his throne up in Jerusalem. Is that right?
Yes, his intention is to walk with man, and man defies his commands and walks evilly, so Yah turns his face against man. So he created us to walk with him. But we did the same thing everybody else did, turned our backs on Yah. And he turned his back on us.
Yes. And that's all, Yah, when he said that when we got to the land, after he redeemed his people, he set his throne up in the land. And Israel was told, you can do whatever you want to do wherever you want to do it. When it comes to Yah, you have to give him his crops in the place that he chose out of all the land that he gave Israel to all 12 tribes. He said, there's one tribe that out in the midst, I will set my name up in the midst of their land. And that place was Jerusalem in the midst of Yehuda. So that's why your land is so important right now. That's where Yah's throne is. To bring you back to the land to serve him. Not to be out here all over the place. Serving all these other deities in everybody's land. No identity. Your thinking's being broken. The whole gamut. We have to repent. We have to humble ourselves. And as I said earlier, one simple act will bring this world to its knees. And you know what that simple act is? The Almighty says the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Whenever Yah dealt with Israel, he dealt with them up under the heavens. Is that right, Moray?
Uh-huh.
He spoke to them, gathered them, had them to come out under the heavens, and there he spoke to Israel. Well, why am I saying that? Because the Almighty says in Leviticus, if you shall confess your sins, Israel, acknowledge that you walk contrary to God, he's walking contrary to us. He's not only confess our sins, but the sins of our fathers. If we shall humble ourselves and turn and repent, turn from our wickedness and tell Yah we're sorry. And Yah said, then he'll remember that covenant. And if we were to come and gather ourselves together, let go all our foolishness, our vanity, and all our way of thinking, but just humble ourselves and let us come up under the our King. Let us come to his footstool, up under at his throne, come up under his heaven, as his people, and bow beside him. Circumcise your heart and bow before your great King and tell him you're sorry. I guarantee you. They talk about JC, the curtain was rent, and JC said, my God, what happened? Why has thou forsaken me? You're going to see some shaking taking place when you say, my God, please forgive us for what we've done to you. So it's like, y'all, our plight is not heavy. Our burden is not heavy. Redemption is not of no strange things. It's not no burden or no task. The only thing we have to do is just tell Yahweh we're sorry and turn from our wickedness. And it's a wash. So you're holding up your own redemption, Israel, by walking to the dictates of your own heart and not listening to the words of your God. When you come into knowledge itself, the word is very clear. It's not complicated. Change. When you change your ways and return back to Yah with all your heart, all your soul. Just return back to Yah and tell him you're sorry. I'm going to clean you up from there. Just tell him you're sorry. And with that, I say, may Yah bless all of Israel far near. May he have mercy upon all of our souls. May he forgive us for what we and our fathers have done. May he look down upon us and see our suffering and hear our cry once again. And gather us so that we can return home where we can truly serve him to his liking according to his word. May Yah be with us all. I pray that he watch us over us during the days of his wrath. I pray that he be our protector for our elderly, our young, our pregnant women, our brothers in lockdown, our sisters and brothers are sleeping in the streets, our people that don't even have a place to lay their head. I pray that Yah come and have mercy and return us home where we can live once again. Hallelujah. Thank you for
allowing me to speak. Amen. Thank you, Ima. That was wonderful. Well, Brother Cartrell, if I may, and Ima Adora, I normally ask Cartrell to do the reading. I'm going to ask him, because he's the eldest, by a couple of months or whatnot. But I understand the rules. Murray Cartrell, since I normally ask you when you do the reading, do you mind if I do the reading today?
Not at all, brother. It's your show, man.
See, there you go.
To my age.
I still respect the rules, brother. Listeners, may the Most High bless you. Yo, brother.
That as much as we say we love Yah, we have to love each other just as much because we are Yah's people. And
that's
if you say you love
plan.
Yah and you don't love your people, you don't really love Yah.
Truth be told. Bingo. And a lot of people, these church people, they go to church every Sunday, packed. Well, they ain't packing the churches in the driveways and whatnot. They had to talk about how much they Lord and whatnot. Well, I don't know what Lord they're talking about. But and then folks asking for some help. You get dust in your face. They'll see you in the rearview mirror talking about that. Man, they ought to quit it. Listeners. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say this real quickly just to add on to what you just said. The
yes, ma'am.
The other day I went to Sam's to get him some gas. And I thought that I didn't have my Sam's card with me because, you know, you can only use their gas if you got their card.
Yes, ma'am.
And I realized I couldn't find my card, so it was a young man pumping gas. Well, he looked like he was in like maybe late 30s, early 40s.
Right.
And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I seem to have misplaced my Sam's card. Would you mind swiping your card? I'm going to pay for it, but I just want to get some gas. No, ma'am, I can't do that. Got a big old thing in them, you know.
What? Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They ought to quit it. They ought to quit it. Stop faking the funk. Man, Imahadora, if it had been me, and you, I said, send them on, honey. I said, look here, don't even worry about paying. I got you. That's me. That's how I do it.
Yeah. I just said, could you mind swiping your car? I want to get some gas. I'm going to pay for it. But I seem to have misplaced my car. No, ma'am, I can't do that. Big old cross hanging on the stick.
Man, he's joking something else, ain't he? Yeah, a hot mess. Well, that goes without saying. I would expect it just what he did to you. I'd expect that from what that cross he got. That's
I guess
just what
I'd
expect.
Trying to rob him or something, Ima.
Yeah. Ima, how are you, Ima?
Trying to rob him.
How are you, Ima?
I'm close to 80, baby.
Look here, Ima. That man, his thing was broke because that cross he got around his neck said, you better watch it, she'll kill him, man. Oh, my. Listeners, you heard my lovely Imahadora from St. Louis, Missouri, and my brother, country up from New York City. Country up, the one brought it up, said he thought Imah was a killer. I tell you what, listeners. I tell you what. Contrary, why you start that mess, man? Come on, man.
Hey, when you walk with the Most High, your enemies, did you say? The wicked flee with no man pursue?
And he sure flee when he saw that 80-year-old kill. Oh, Lord. Here, with them killers. Listeners, we finna get back to the Most High business, which is serious business. And he's be quiet, Ima. And Ima was talking about repentance and forgiveness. And one of the joys of forgiveness is a relationship consolidated with the Most High, and you know that relationship is consolidated. And in the Psalms 18, you will get some understanding. Once you ask for forgiveness and that relationship is consolidated, and you understand that it's very, very happy occasion. And speaking from my experience and observation, it is definitely a good consolidated relationship. So let us read. Let me read the word of the Most High in Psalms 18. And David is talking, King David. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Elohim does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's a humility. That's straight up. You know I'm crooked than a dog's hind leg. You know, when I go to the Most High in prayer, I don't leave nothing off the table. He already know everything anyway. So when I go to him, I'm straight up. I'm putting it all out on the table. So when you come to the Elohim, the Most High God of Abraham, you got to be humble. You can't be trying to be slick, trying to get around him, because see everything anyway. You might as well put everything out on the table. And he says, but when I kept silent, I didn't repent. I didn't make a confession. My bones grew old through my groaning all day long. All day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. Because I didn't get no get right. Your hand was heavy upon me day and night. I couldn't get away from you. My vitality, it turned into a drought of summer. Sheila. But I acknowledge my sin to you, because you can't hide nothing from him. And my iniquity I have not hidden. And I say it, I will confess my transgression to the Elohim. And you forgave the iniquity of my sins. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance, Sheila. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, the Most High is saying. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Elohim, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Elohim. Rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. See, you can't get no get right. I don't care. You can wear all the crosses you want around your neck of idols. You're going to think people like Imar Dora is killers. You're going to think people like me is crazy as hell. Because your mind ain't right. But if you get away from those idols, trust in the Elohim, put all your hopes in him, put it all out on the table, he said, I got you. Tell me everything, because I know everything anyway. Humble yourself. What do you say to that, Cartrell?
I say the Most High got the same M.O. When Cain killed Abel, the Most High knew he killed Abel, but he asked him, where's your brother Abel? And what did he say? He got arrogant with the Most High. Am I my brother's keeper? He wanted to see if he was upright in heart.
Right.
To see if he would confess.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He should have confessed, because the Most High already knew. He said, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. So he didn't really have to tell him what happened. Y'all already knew. So, like, we trying to hide something from y'all? He already know. He wanted to see you go confess.
Come clean.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you can remember, and then some you can't remember. So, Most High, some of the things I can't remember. I mean, just be honest. But everything I do remember, I'm going to confess.
And listen.
And be humble. Right.
King David, he wrote it on paper so everybody could see it.
How bold have you had to do that? Right, he gave you the blueprint. King David gave you the blueprint. Only thing you got to do is follow the blueprint. Ema Hadora, killer. What do you say to that killer? Ema Hadora? I guess she put a mic on her mute. Ema, are you there? Well, hold on, wait just a minute. I got Abiyah. I want to hear a woman's perspective. Sister Abiyah from New York City. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. What do you got to say to that? Sister
you
Abiyah?
Know I don't have.
Okay.
May
I know,
the Most High bless you, brothers.
She got that Psalm 25.
Now, okay, now what is it you were saying?
What do you say in reference to King David saying that you got to put it all out on the table? Ain't no sister hiding none. The Most High know about it anyway. And come clean.
I do it.
I
totally agree. I do it every night, even in my prayers before I lay my body down to sleep. I repent, and what I don't remember, I always say, Lord, you know that I need forgiveness for everything.
Exactly.
And I try to cover all my ground.
Me and you, brother. And look here. Look at Abby.
That's spiritually healthy.
It keeps you spiritually
healthy. Because the longer you try to hide it, the more you're going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
When you confess it, when you acknowledge it, it's going to help you change.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Just like you said, but the thing, if I don't remember, honestly, I have went back and thought about since I was a little girl and asked for forgiveness for the little things I've done. And we've all done things as children, but I still include everything that I remember. And like I said, what I don't remember, I tell them, I say, y'all, you know what I've done. Forgive me for all my wrong.
Well, look here, you should have been stealing the cookie out of the cookie jar. Yeah, you wouldn't have had to be asked for forgiveness. You should have did like your mama told you.
See that? I should have left that cookie alone. I wouldn't have had a stomachache either.
And when you're sincere about your confession, you should be ashamed of yourself. It should make you cry.
Yeah, and nothing to be proud of.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You cookie stealer. All right. Thank you, Sister Avia.
Y'all have a nice night. May the Most High bless you all.
May the Most High bless you, Sister Avia. Love you now. All right, Brother Moray Cashel, my brother and friend. What's your closing remarks before we get out of here?
The closer we get to Yah, the better it feels. And he takes away your worries, your doubts, your fears. The more we understand the blessings that he has for us. And there's no real reason for us to fear because we've been through it. And when you follow that path that Yah has for you, it gives you that security that, you know, Yah will protect you, Yah will guide you, and Yah will bless you. So I'm trying to follow that path, stay on that path, and I want to pass that on to everybody that I can, especially my family, my sons, my daughters, my grandchildren.
Right.
Because they got to walk this way, too.
Truth be told. You know, Sister Avia, truth be told, she said something that sparked my interest. You know, I was thinking about all the wrong I did as a child, and I really got to go into prayer and for being a disobedient child. And I got to make repentance of that. Thanks a lot, Sister Avia. So I really got to go back and pray to the Most High. You know, Sister Avia may have stole the cookie at the cookie jar, but truth be told, Cartrell, I stole the whole cookie jar.
We get the cookie jar. We used to go in the supermarket and open bags up and just eat.
Hey man, don't even talk about the cough drops and everything. I used to steal out of Walgreens or whatnot. You know, matter of fact,
Five and Dime Store.
Yeah, they brought me home. The police brought me home. I was a bad. I'm like, man, I got to make some confessions tonight. And the old tour can't listen. Yeah, one time I'm stealing cough drops out of Walgreens off Poplar, and because we stayed off Rimbaud, off Poplar, and at that time it was about 1963, 64. The cops bring me home. Well, you know what Mama did to me? She broke me off something real special. And then one day I was coming home, you know, my brother and sisters, I had a stepbrother and a birth sister, which was older than me, and they would always walk ahead of me, and I was under that. I was third child. And I would always put a fire alarm. Because I'd like to see the fire truck rolling around the corner. So this one day in particular, Dad set up a steam. And I pulled a fire alarm. My brother and sister never saw what I was doing for the whole school year. And the fire truck come rolling back. And the guy pulled up in a white, red car. He said, "What are you doing, son?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "That's my sister and brother right there." He said, "Get in this car." I said, "I got to take me home." And I got to repent for that. And you know, my mama broke me off something special again. Man, I was a bad kid, man. Thanks, Abby, y'all. Thanks for reminding me. I got to do a whole lot of repenting tonight.
I ain't going to start laying out my sins, man.
I ain't going to tell you no more on the real time. I bet that folk listening said, man, you just a little skank. Yeah, I was a little skank. Truth be done. All y'all would too. And I tell you what, listen, I'm gonna tell you this. I admit that we all got skeletons in our closet that we need to make confessions for. And I admit that I have the whole graveyard in mind. And I gotta pray for tonight. Thanks to Sister Avia. But that being said, You got to do what you got to do. But I, you know, Murray, you know, Cartrell, you think about the adult things you did when you were an adult, but you never go back to when you were a teenager and a preteen. Man, I got to do it. You been back already?
Sure. I was in a gang at 17, 16. The hell I'm doing in a gang, I know I'm an Israelite.
That's what I'm saying.
The dirty dozen.
Your mama should have beat the brakes off you.
She didn't know. She going to school and working. I'm running the street with the bad boy.
Hey, man, I was a bad boy. You probably, if I was living up there, me and you probably been hanging. You probably been hanging out with me.
Yeah. We thought we were cool. We wore green military jackets. We called ourselves the Dirty Dozen. You remember that movie, The Dirty Dozen?
Yeah.
That's what y'all was.
Yeah, hold on. I was a football player. I was a football player slash bad boy. You know, that gave me a lot of popularity that I really regret about it. It really wasn't nothing into it in the first place. But, you know, being a jock and being a bad boy, it was just a dual dynamic combination. At that time, it worked for me, but truth be told, it was really working on me. So I got to go all the way back, thanks to Aviyah and Cartrell. Thanks a lot, brothers and sisters.
Well, that we helped you, bro.
Truth be told, I got to go back. I got to turn over some skeletons. That being said, and listeners, you got to turn over some too, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Thanks again, Brother Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you. Thanks, Ima Hodora from St. Louis, Missouri. May the Most High bless you. Thanks, Sister Abby from New York City. May the Most High bless you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People show. May the Most High bless you. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Trust in the Most High in all your ways. Make some confessions and repent. Put it all out on the table as far as you can remember, which I'm about probably going to do right after this show. Thanks to Aviyah and Cartrell. I got to put it all out on the table, listeners. You know, yeah, I thought about the adult, then I thought about the teenagers, but I go way back. So I got to go way, way back. And so, listeners, you got to go way back with me on your own. That being said, get you a new thinker, because the one that's working for you ain't working on you. It's broken. Get a new thinker like King David. King David asked for a new one. And if it's good enough for your king, it should be good enough for you. Who are you? So what I'm saying to you listeners, get you a new thinker. One's going to work for you instead of the old one that's been working on you and against you. That's all I'm saying. Well, Most High bless you, listeners. May your steps be directed and ordered by Him, and lean not to your own understanding. We love you. Come on back tomorrow. You've been listening to Real Talk for Real People. Again, thank you, Cartrell from New York City. Thank you, Sister Aviyah from New York City. Thank you, Ima Hardura from St. Louis. And thank you, listeners. St. Louis. We love you. There ain't no love dying here for you. On a Real Talk for Real People show. Oh, it's true. Good night. Shalom.
There will be no love that's dying here. The bird that flew in through my window simply lost his way. Broke his wing, I helped him heal, and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here. The mirror that fell from the wall was raggedy, that's all. It rests up on a rusty nail before it made us fall. Well, the bones of love are everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here for flowers in my aging faces, not a sign we're dead. I paid for three, a sweet old lady gave me four instead. There's some doubt that's out about this love, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. Helped him heal and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. No, there will be no love that's dying for me. There will be no love that's dying for you and me. Oh, there will be no love dying here, no, not for me. There will be no love that's dying here, no, there will be no love that's dying here, no, 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 no.